Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah Ishayahu chapter 53. Familiar portion to us. Ironically, most Jews don't know it's a part of the Torah. The rabbis don't allow it to be read. And we can see why. Same with Daniel chapter 9, that Messiah would die before the temple was destroyed. They even say there's a curse for those that read Isaiah or Daniel chapter 9 for obvious reasons. It clearly shows us our Lord Jesus. Isaiah chapter 53, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form to comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. We have the privilege, this was a prophecy of the prophet, but we know it's been fulfilled, and now we can be free in Jesus Christ. Let's kneel before him as we pray.
We greet each one of you this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Last night we looked at Jesus as the one who spanned the gap between a holy God and a sinful man. Jesus was the only one that could redeem us. Jesus, the only one that could make atonement for our sin. And Jesus was the only one that could restore us to God. This morning, for a few minutes, we'd like to look at the price our Redeemer paid to do that. When Jesus Christ came to be our Redeemer, he paid a very high price. The title of this morning's sermon is, It Was for You and Me. It was for you and me. This morning, I would ask you to consider the high cost that Jesus paid to be our Redeemer. And while we think on it, remember, it was all for you and me. Consider this morning the high cost our Savior paid in his condescension. Condescension means voluntarily to descend from one's rank as a dignitary to have a relationship with an inferior. When Jesus condescended, he came from heaven to earth. It's clearly described in Philippians 2:5-8. It said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the very form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Jesus Christ existed eternally as part of the Godhead, yet he didn't selfishly maintain that position. He emptied himself. He stripped himself. He laid aside the many privileges of being God the Son, and he chose to become a creature, man, instead of the Creator. He took the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Jesus Christ, the eternal King of kings and Lord of lords, the creator of the universe, the sustainer of everything, left it all and came to earth as a man. He laid aside the glories of heaven and came to earth and made himself subject to all the trials and tribulations of a human, of a man. He made himself subject to the wants and physical needs. He made himself subject to all the weakness and pain. He made himself subject to all the infirmities and diseases and sickness. He made himself subject to trials and tribulations. Jesus Christ paid a great cost when he left the glories of heaven to come to earth. And we ask, why? Why? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, that though he was in heaven, he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Perhaps the hymn writer says it best when he says he came from realms of light above, the savior of the world to be, to show the darkened world his love. It was for you and me. It was for you and me that Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth. I ask you to remember this morning his rejection, the high cost he paid for you and me in his rejection. Jesus Christ, God the Son, came to earth. He was sent by a loving God to us. He came bringing nothing but love and hope. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to set the captive free. He came to give sight to the blind. He brought the best news the world had ever heard. And he was rejected. He was rejected. For thousands of years, people had looked forward to his coming. They prayed for his coming. His coming was foretold and expected. Yet when he came, he was rejected. John says he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came under his own, and his own received him not. Can you imagine the arrogance and the pride and the foolishness of rejecting the best news the world had ever heard? Psalm 22 says, "I am but a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, 'He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him.'" A vivid picture of our Lord's death, a vivid picture of the scorn and the mocking and the rejection he experienced. It should tear out your heart this morning as you think of Jesus Christ and the rejection he faced in coming to earth. His own people, the Jews, rejected him. The crowds rejected him. The soldiers rejected him. And most of the world since that day has rejected him. Rejected, rejected. Rejected their only hope. Rejected their only chance. We experience that in some small sense today, don't we? We give a gift. something that we carefully chosen, and it's not appreciated. We do good, and it's not appreciated for someone. Perhaps father and mother appreciated the most when they pour their life into their children, and they're rejected for it. Yet it's only a small taste of the rejection and the high price that our Lord paid in coming to earth. He was despised, he was disdained, he was scorned, he was abandoned, he was rejected. Isaiah 53 in the text that was read for you this morning said, "He is despised and rejected a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not." Jesus Christ paid a great cost to be your Redeemer in his rejection. And we ask why. Why? How could anyone love us that much? We ask why. Again, the hymn writer says, "About the world he daily went, on deeds of love and mercy free. His precious life he gladly spent, and it was for you and me." This morning I ask you to consider the high cost that Jesus paid for your redemption in his suffering, in his suffering. Our text this morning, Isaiah 53, said, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." We are healed. I draw your attention this morning to the word bruised in that verse number 5. The word bruised there does not mean a black and blue mark that we would experience if we fall down. That word bruised means utterly crushed, completely broken. As I think of our suffering Savior, I have trouble coming up with the words to describe it. I struggle with that. But it seems like Jesus Christ here was completely crushed. He suffered mentally, he suffered emotionally, he suffered spiritually, he suffered physically. He suffered mentally through all the life's temptations and trials. You see, he had to be truly the last Adam. He had to be the perfect Passover lamb. He had to be perfect. And so he was tested and tried. Perhaps the worst testing our Lord suffered was that night in the garden. And we see his great struggle, a struggle that happens in his mind. Would he obey his Father's plan? We can't imagine his suffering, I don't believe, that night in the garden. Matthew 26 said, "He saith unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death." Luke 22 said, "And being in great agony, he prayed the more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground." Jesus suffered for us in his mind. Jesus suffered emotionally. Our Lord and Savior was left all alone. As he was rejected by everyone, the people, his friends, and even his own disciples rejected him, and he was left alone. Luke 22 says that after Peter's denial, the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Can you imagine the look? As our Lord turned and looked at Peter, I imagine it was a look of love and compassion and forgiveness. But I can also imagine the hurt and the rejection as he stood there alone, knowing that even his friends had denied him. Jesus also suffered spiritually. Again, I can't imagine. Perhaps it all sums up from Jesus' cry from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? After 3 hours of darkness, after having the wrath of God poured out upon him, he looked for comfort. He looked for compassion. He looked for spiritual oneness and a relationship with God. Yet none came, and God turned away. Jesus suffered spiritually. Jesus suffered physically. You know, as a boy, I remember the women making communion bread. And in the older folks had their forks were three-pronged, and most forks today are four-pronged. I remember the old women taking a fork, three-pronged fork, and making holes in the communion bread. And you put the one tine in the last hole, and you had five holes across your communion bread. I was told as a boy that was a five wounds of Christ. And you know, as I grew older, I thought our Lord and Savior had nothing but one great big wound that covered his whole body. Isaiah 52 says his face was so marred and so destroyed that we could not even recognize him. He was blindfolded, struck and beaten before the Sanhedrin. He was scourged by Pilate. We know that's a terrible whipping with a leather whip that had metal and bone, and it was meant to take flesh off of bones. And many did not live through it. He was handed over then to the soldiers who stripped him, spit upon him, and hit him again and mocked him. He was beaten so badly that he could not carry his cross. Your Lord and Savior paid a high price for your redemption. And we ask ourselves why. Isaiah 53:10 says, "And yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." It pleased the Lord to utterly destroy him and crush him and to put him to grief. Why? Because he shall make his soul an atoning offering for sin. Jesus suffered. He was completely crushed for you. The hymn writer says, "In dark Gethsemane he wept and prayed in bitter agony while his disciples weary slept. It was for you and me." And lastly, Jesus paid the high cost for our redemption by his death. It amazes me how the gospel writers tell of such a terrible thing in so few words. Luke says, "There they crucified him." Matthew says, "And they crucified him." So words to describe such a terrible thing. We know the cross, you've heard many sermons about it, was a terrible way that they executed prisoners. The Romans wouldn't even do it to their own citizens. It was that terrible. And here it was the way the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords died. Yet looking back, we know that sin can only be paid for by death. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Hebrews 9:22 says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins." And Hebrews 2:9 says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." Luke 44, while our Lord was on the cross, it says, "In the sixth hour at noontime, the world got dark, and was dark until 3 o'clock. In those 3 hours of darkness, the wrath of God was poured out upon your Savior and mine. I used to think in that time period that our Lord turned his back on Jesus, and he did, but it was more than that. as I think about it. During those 3 hours of darkness, God was there at Calvary. During those 3 hours of darkness, God poured his wrath, his judgment, and his fury out upon Jesus Christ. I don't know if it's doctrinally sound, but at least for sake of illustration, during those 3 hours, Jesus Christ experienced what hell actually is. Hell is darkness. Hell is torment. Hell is burning. No comfort, no release. Hell is the judgment and the wrath of God. And isn't it amazing that the wrath of God didn't fall on the Pharisees? The wrath of God didn't fall on the Romans. And the wrath of God didn't fall on you or me. But the wrath of God fell upon Jesus Christ. I find in Scripture no word spoken by Jesus Christ in those 3 hours of darkness. I believe the punishment was so terrible as propitiation was made for sin, as God's anger and wrath was poured out. At the end of those 3 hours, perhaps at the climax of it all, Jesus cries out with that loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He then says, I thirst. He then says, it's finished. And then in a loud shout of victory, Scripture tells us, and notice the change of relationship. He goes from calling God, God, to Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And Jesus Christ died. God had sacrificed his own Passover lamb. God himself provided the lamb. You see, it's not just a substitute. It's not just one sinful man taking the place of another. Jesus Christ is the only one, the only perfect Lamb of God that makes it possible for you to fall into the arms of a loving God instead of the hands of an angry one. And we wonder why. And we're told in Scripture that greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. The hymn writer says, the Lord of life for sin he died, was crucified on Calvary. For those who did his name deride, and it was for you and me. Yes, Jesus Christ paid a great price for our redemption. He left the glories of heaven. He was rejected by men. He suffered, he bled, and he died. And it was all for you and me. O mighty love, so rich and free, it was for you and me. In a few minutes, you're going to be asked to examine yourselves. In a few minutes, the Holy Spirit is going to move in your heart, and you'll be convicted of a shortcoming, a sin. In a few minutes, you're going to experience a struggle. Will it be your way, or will it be God's way? I encourage you, when that struggle comes to you this morning, that you look upon the one who loved and paid such a high price for you, and remember it was for you and me. May God bless you.